Welcome to the OCR A-Level Psychology Podcast. Find out more at www.ocr.org.uk.
Okay, yeah, Steve. So what I'm going to do then, if you like, Steve's provided the backdrop. If you like, now casting our work in a different frame, coming at it from a different angle, trying to, again, move our understanding of these phenomena along. And I think an important point to say here in prefacing it is that in the 30 years since Zimbardo conducted his study, contrary to what you might see in a lot of social psychology textbooks, at least under the section that deals with issues of tyranny, psychologists interested in these phenomena have not been standing still. In fact, the field of social psychology has moved on very dramatically. And I think if you did a survey of contemporary academic social psychologists in Britain and in North America for that matter, I think you'd really struggle to find anyone who subscribed to the kind of unadulterated role accounts which Zimbardo puts forward. And in fact, the theoretical tradition out of which our own research emerges has, I think, assumed a much more dominant place in contemporary social psychology. And the interesting thing about that, and that was a point Rebecca alluded to in her talk, is actually that's an intellectual tradition which emerges out of a European and more specifically a British tradition. It was founded by Henri Tajfel and John Turner at the University of Bristol in the 1970s. And amongst other things, one of the core ideas that research challenged, well, there were two ideas. One was the idea that people didn't just passively take on roles, that actually the process of internalizing group memberships was critical to psychology, that people are capable of acting as individuals, as I, me, okay, but also we act as members of groups. And when we internalize them as in part of our sense of who we are, then those groups assume considerable importance in our behavior, and critically too, they transform it so that it has a different meaning and a different form. Now, again, what we wanted to do in our research was to put those things on the agenda. The issues of internalization that Steve's been talking about, the importance of identification as a basis for behavior, and also to look at the dynamics of resistance. But fundamentally, we wanted, and again, and the ideas of Zimbardo were always pretty fundamental to, particularly to Steve's research, critiquing ideas of de-individuation. But we wanted to work within the paradigm, the very powerful paradigm that he'd created, but again, to look at these dynamics. What we did, though, to start with was to work within a simulated prison environment where we assigned participants randomly to prisoner and guard groups. What was important for us, and I think what was also important in the Stanford Prison Experiment, was that the experimenters, him or us, created a system of inequality, of power and resource imbalance, and that the participants took that system seriously. So psychologically, it was a real situation for them. So what did we find in the study itself? Again, in relation particularly to the hypotheses that we were interested in. The first point to make is that for the prisoners, the patterns of behavior were very much in line with our hypotheses. At the beginning of the study, before the promotion took place and while they were hoping to be promoted, what you saw was they were uncomfortable with their circumstances, they disliked inequality, but that they worked individually to escape their situation. But over the course of the study, what you see is this personality variable, supposedly a stable personality variable, is changing. And actually amongst those, if you like, the would-be followers in this new regime, their appetite for authoritarian solutions increases the more powerless they become. And at the end of the study, when the proposal for authoritarian solution, the authoritarian solution is laid on the table, actually, this is no longer an extremist, aberrant perspective. It's something that everybody believes in. If you were in Germany in the late 1920s, everybody believed in civilization and democracy. But by come 1936, 37, actually the German people had been transformed. They had come to believe they needed a different kind of solution. And if you like, collectively, they evinced a different personality, they changed. And it's that transformation, I think, that dynamic transformation, that this study, I think, captures quite well. So, conclusions, I'm going to pass back to Steve.